Senate will come to order. Roll call by the Chief Clerk.
Roll call for Wednesday, March 3rd. Anderson.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns. Case.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Dockstader.
Here.
Elliott.
Here.
Esquibel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Honeycutt.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Martin.
Here.
Massey.
Here.
Meyer. Meyer-S.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Schiffer.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Sessions.
Here.
Townsend.
Here.
Von Flatern.
Here.
President Hines.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
30 present.
Prayer by the Reverend Robinson.
It seems almost necessary to pray that you finish your work early today so that you can go outside and enjoy the beautiful day that surrounds you. Should I not have told you that it's gorgeous out there? Let's pray together, will you? Most holy God, whose presence fills time and space, whose breath fills our being, we pause this morning to open ourselves to you, allowing you into the depths of who we are, the depths of our need. We welcome you there, for our need is great, and your willingness to meet our need is even greater. Almighty God, whose power is loving, whose gifts are plentiful, and whose compassion is vast, hear our prayers. We seek healing, for many suffer from disease and brokenness. We seek peace, for many encounter violence and death. We seek grace, for many are lost and need to be found. We seek justice for those whose actions cause tears, and we seek mercy, knowing that we have caused tears too. God of glory, you hold all possibility in the palm of your hand. And so it is we pray that you would perfect our weaknesses, that you would continue to form your people into a community that loves you and your creation. We pray that you might do all this so that in all that we say and do and all the work of our lives, we might reflect your glory. All this we pray on this beautiful day. Amen.
Join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the reading clerks please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports at the Journal of March the 2nd, 2010, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Dockstader, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Our doctor of the day today is Lisa Brandis, MD from Cheyenne, and our nurses for the day are Michelle Parks and Amanda Gonzalez from the Wyoming State Hospital. Thought for the day, it is amazing what you can accomplish if you do not care who gets the credit. Senator, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Mr. President, today is March 3rd, as we know, and it's a very special day. We've been told, Mr. President, that it's your birthday. So, Mr. President, we, your friends in the Wyoming Senate, wish you a very happy birthday and a healthy, happy, and I'll say it, 74th year, Mr. President. With that, I would like to have the members of the Senate stand and join me in singing happy birthday to our president. Happy
Thank you very much. You actually sounded pretty good.
The break room at lunch, and we were not able to get a variance from the fire marshal on the candles, so we will have cake.
Now all my secrets are out in public. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have privilege of the floor for just a moment?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to introduce the Senate to a good friend of mine who also happens to be my brother. Up until about a couple of months ago, he's been working down in New Mexico, and we're glad to have him back home in Wyoming. He took over a company over in Senator Hastert's neck of the woods, and I'm just glad to have my brother Tom home. His friend Tammy's up there with him, so say hello to my brother Tom.
Welcome to the Senate.
He's a better guy, too.
Messages from the House.
March the 2nd, 2010, from the House of Representatives. Message number 249, Joint Conference Committee Report adopted. Mr. President, Senate File 72, Wyoming Retirement Plan Contributions 2. The House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 38, noes 18, excused 4. Concurrence passed March 2nd, 2010, from the House of Representatives. Concurrence passed. Mr. President, the House did concur on Senate amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 67, Data Processing Center Sales Use Tax Exemption, ayes 55, noes 1, excused 4. House Bill 90, Insurance Service Contracts, ayes 56, excused 4. House Bill 102, Livestock and Brands, ayes 53, noes 3, excused 4. House Joint Resolution 2, Resolution Assertion of States' Rights, ayes 56, excused 4. House Bill 23, Business Entities, Reinstatement Fees, ayes 55, noes 1, excused 4. House Bill 57, Damage to Underground Public Utilities, ayes 56, excused 4. House Bill 63, Tanning Salons, Minors, ayes 55, noes 1, excused 4. March 2nd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, third reading passed. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 2, Appropriation for the Legislature, ayes 56, excused 4. Senate File 23, Unemployment Compensation Amendments, ayes 56, excused 4. Senate File 24, Community-Based In-Home Services, ayes 56, noes 4. Senate File 32, Wyoming Investment in Nursing Extension, ayes 56, excused 4. Senate File 37, Omnibus Water Bill Construction, ayes 56, excused 4. Senate File 41, Teacher Shortage Loan Repayment Program, ayes 45, noes 11, excused 4. Senate File 53, Obsolete Law General revisions. Ayes 56, excused 4. House Senate File 54, confirmation of appointments. Ayes 56, excused 4. Senate File 62, veterans burial. Ayes 56, excused 4. Senate File 71, disposal of remains military personnel. Ayes 56, excused 4. March 2nd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 225, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 15, Title 25 revisions. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 55, noes 1, excused 4. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. March 2nd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 228, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 27, Government Competition. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 55, noes 1, excused 4. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. March 2nd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 230, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 34, continuation of insurance coverage. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 56, excused 4. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. March 2nd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 231, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 36, Gillette Madison Water Project. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 47, noes 9, excused 4. March 2nd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 238, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 74, subdivision parcels. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form. By the vote indicated, ayes 56, excused 4. March 2nd, 2010. From the House of Representatives, message number 239, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 18, Limited Liability Companies Revisions. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 41, noes 14, excused 4, conflict 1. March 2nd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 240. Mr. President, Senate File 57, telephone solicitations, cell phones. Senate file listed above, passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 45, noes 11, excused 4. March 2nd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 241, concurrence requested, Mr. President. Senate File 75, School District Health Insurance 2. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 53, noes 3, excused 4. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
At
at this point, our intern coordinator is here with a guest. Please come forward. Over the past 16 years, 20 exceptional college students participating in the Wyoming Legislative Internship Program have received nearly $6,000 in scholarship money from your generous contributions. The Wyoming Legislature sponsors the internship program, which allows students enrolled at an institution of higher education to obtain credit, along with unique insight into the legislative institution and its vital responsibility in creating public policy. Legislators also benefit by having students assist them with the legislative workload. During each legislative session, a deserving student is awarded the scholarship. This year, recipient of the Wyoming Legislative Intern Scholarship is Susie Solar of Rock Springs, who attend Western Wyoming Community College and will have an Associate of Art degree in May. After graduation, she plans to work on her bachelor degrees online in a photography and design-related field. Presenting the scholarship is Mrs. Lavonda Kospa, who has served as coordinator of our intern program for the past 8 years. We would also like to welcome Susie's mother, Lasikli, her husband Tom, and son Eric and Bobby to the chamber and congratulate Susie on this achievement.
Well, thank you. It is such an honor to be recognized by this body with the Best Intern Award of the state. After taking orders from you guys all month, it was kind of funny to be out there giving the orders this morning for your group portrait. I thank you all for your cooperation. I think it went really well. As with most accomplishments, their accomplishments are meant not, you know, just by one person, but by many people helping. And I've had help from every person whom I've worked for here this month, as well as all the interns and other staff members. And I just want to express my appreciation for making us feel so welcome and for allowing us to serve you as interns, because that's why we're here, is to help and to learn through helping. So thank you for that. And then the source of my greatest joy and support has actually come from the people that were just recognized up in the gallery, from my mom and my husband and my two sons. Before I came here, I had only been away from my sons, who are 5 and 7, for 3 nights, ever. And so to come here for the whole month has been a big sacrifice for our whole family, and I really just appreciate them giving me the encouragement and the motivation to be here. And I just thank you again with deepest gratitude, and I look forward to being on the right side of my camera in just a few minutes instead of out here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will all be waiting anxiously to see that picture, and I know we're all be better than life in it. I know we'll all look better than life in it. Thank you. We are glad students and the legislature. I would like to encourage you all to read the letter on your desk about making future contribution to the intern scholarship fund. Thank you again for joining us today, Susie, and congratulations once again, and thank your family for attending. Concurrences. Senator Meyer, are you ready on message number 240?
No, he's not there.
AWOL.
No, guess not. Senator Sessions.
Senate, before we begin, could I ask for privilege of the floor and introduce some students?
You may.
Okay, up in the top here, you'll see are some of these little people, and they are from the Afrobah Gifted Program, and they have come to watch us do our job. So would you please welcome them to the legislature?
Welcome to the legislature this morning. Senator Meyer, are you ready on message 240?
Yes, Mr. President.
Reading clerk, please read in the message.
March 2nd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 240, concurrence requested, Mr. President, Senate file 57, telephone solicitation, cell phones. Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 45, noes 11, excused 4.
Senator Meyer.
Yes, Mr. President, I move message 240, the concurrence on Senate file 57, telephone solicitation, cell phones, and ask the body to vote aye. Between the time it left here and got over there, Mr. President, I did a little more reading in the federal registry, and found out that the North American Plan Administrator, National Cooling Administrator, and Local Number Portability Administrator actually determined the exact cell phone numbers, and we wouldn't have to do it just by prefixes. And they do that because it's illegal for cell phone solicitors to call cell phones with automated equipment. And so all those numbers exist in a data file currently. And so I brought the amendment that you see on the top front page to the committee, and they put that on. But on third reading, Mr. President, if you recall, the consumer advocate was on a mission back east to a conference, and when he got back, his eyes got as big as saucers. And he lobbied successfully over in the House side to omit him from the bill and put in the Public Service Commission. And the Public Service Commission can handle this. I just really kind of wanted to have the consumer advocate put his feet to the fire and actually advocate for consumers. But the bill will work the way it is now, Mr. President. It'll be effective. It gets the job done from what we wanted to do, and that's to put people on the do not call list on their cell phones. So I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate file 57, and you've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns? Case,
no.
Coe,
aye.
Cooper,
aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Elliott,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Honeycutt,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
no.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
Myers,
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Bonflatern,
aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate file 57. Senator Case, are you ready on message 239?
Mr. President, I think so.
Reading clerk, please read in the message.
March 2nd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 239, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 18, Limited Liability Companies Revision. Senate file listed above, passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 41, noes 14, excused 4, conflict 1.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move message number 239, the concurrence request for Senate File 18, Limited Liability Companies Revisions. I would ask the Senate to support the actions contained in the report and vote aye. Mr. President, this, of course, was the limited liability company bill that was the topic of interim study for your corporations committee. As you all recall, we had some discussion about the bill on the floor, and there was some, as the bill left the Senate, it did contain a provision about how one of these companies would be wound up if and only if the operating agreement did not contain specific instructions about the allocation of shares. And so the big issue in the whole thing was that the bill originally, before it came to the Senate, had that the wind-up would take place in equal portions. Each shareholder would get an equal portion of the company. In the end, it left the Senate with a more of a proportional based on contribution, and it has come back to us as equal. And they had extensive discussion, and Mr. President, I can walk it through real quick. The First Amendment, that's the biggest thing that the other body did, but that's not the entirety of what they did. If you all will turn to page 10 of the engrossed copy, you can see that there's a list there, and it actually begins on page 9. And it's under 1729.110, Operating Agreement, the Scope, Functions, and Limitations. And basically it says, except as otherwise provided, in the Operating Agreement governs all of the following. And if you look on line 10 and 11, the Operating Agreement is permitted to eliminate the duty of loyalty and the duty of care or other fiduciary duty. And the amendment was offered to remove that requirement, the operating agreement would not be able to remove the duty of loyalty, the duty of care, and other fiduciary duty. So that has been changed to be a reserve section. It'll maintain the numbering because we're trying to follow the numbering of the Uniform Act, Mr. President. The next change is on page 30 of your bill. The engrossed copy, again, it's under 1729.407, the management issues, and this is the crux of the change and what we have to discuss. If you look on page 20 or lines 26 through 30, Romanet 2 little I there, current language is that each member has rights in the management and conduct of the company's activities on the basis of the value of the contributions made by each member to the extent that they have not been received by the limited liability. To the extent that they have been received by the limited liability company and have not been returned. The new language is that each member has equal rights in the management and conduct of the company. Now, recall, this comes under lines 19 and 20, which says, in a member-managed limited liability company, unless the articles of organization or the operating agreement provide otherwise, the following rules apply. Our language, as it left the Senate, was that there would be this proportional based on your contribution. That would be your weight in the company. The new language comes back and says, unless your operating agreement provides otherwise, you will operate the company on an equal basis. That's the gist of the theme of the rest of the amendments, Mr. President. I don't think it's necessary that I go through them, but I'd be happy to if anybody would like. But the key here is you might think, well, that doesn't sound very fair because somebody may have put more money into the company or not. And that's absolutely true. But remember, this only applies if you don't have that specified either in your articles or your operating agreement. So if there's nothing specified, you have to settle this probably in court. It's on an equal basis. And that is the way the bill originally came here. And, Mr. Chairman, that's also in conformation with the Uniform Act. I yield. I know there is disagreement on this subject.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I rise to urge the Senate to vote no on concurring with the House amendments here. Mr. President, the issue is what they have done to the default provision. And you recall the discussion we had here, I forget if it was the Committee of the Whole or second reading, that led to the default provision the way we sent it out, that it was in proportion to the contributions that you make, which is the current Wyoming law. Now, remember that you can do it whichever way you want to in your operating agreement. So I think that everybody who uses an attorney to draw up one of these, any responsible attorney is going to ask you which way you want, and you've got a decision to make, and you'll be covered. Fine. The trouble is that a number of our citizens going into a small business for themselves and possibly members of their family or associates will file these things on their own, download some forms from a website. There's a number of them that offer the right forms, and you can do it. And it saves you a significant amount of money. And this is the default provision. So this is the one that may well apply in those circumstances. And I think most people with a limited liability company will think, gee, it's going to be like a company. The ownership is proportional to what we put in. And that will be the expectation. And by having a default provision that is all the members are equal, so you put in your son-in-law for 1% or 5% or something like that. He's equal. And I think that's where there will be a surprise and a trap for the unwary. So I would urge us to not concur, go back to the House, and see if we can get them to come around to the point of view that for the default provision, it ought to be in proportion to the contribution as our current law provides. So, Mr. President, I strongly urge the Senate to vote no on this concurrence.
The motion that the Senate do concur on Senate File 18, and you have been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk, recall the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Elliott? Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Honeycutt?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
No.
Martin?
No.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Meyer S?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Sessions?
No. Townsend?
No.
Bonflatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 4 ayes, 26 noes.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 18. Message number 228. Are you ready, Senator Case?
Mr. President, I am ready, and I hope I have better luck.
Reading clerk, read in the message.
March 2nd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 228, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 27, Government Competition. Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 55, noes 1, excuse 4.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would move message number 228, the concurrence request to Senate File 27, Government Competition. Mr. President, you'll recall this is the bill that creates the web-based reporting services in the office of our chief executive, where people can lodge concerns about competition between government and the private sector, Mr. Chairman. I was present when these amendments were offered in the House committee. I think they're very good amendments in general, Mr. President. They improve the bill. A lot of it could be argued as just cleanup. We had an effective immediately date on the bill. But, Mr. President, what they suggest is that the website should be up and running by July 1st of this year. I'm okay with that. I don't think it takes that long to put a website, a web page up to allow this to happen, but that gives them a little bit of time to think it through, perhaps. They had an amendment that would allow the public through the website to access summary data that the website generates. I thought that was a great idea. That's just more about transparency and openness. And by summary data, it wouldn't be people's names or the specific instances, but it would be more like the tabulation of the complaints and things. Mr. President, page 3, line 12, we had said something about reporting annually, but we had left in by mistake a specific year as well. So it said the governor's office shall annually report to the legislature not later than July 1st, 2010. Well, the 2010 wasn't necessary in that sentence, so they took that out. So it says, shall annually report not later than July 1, so that it can be any year, not just the year 2010. They also simplified and broadened it a little bit in terms of page 4, lines 13 through 21, where commercial activity is defined. We had a lot of exceptions in there. We said commercial activity does not include minor renovation, a bunch of things, Mr. President, that frankly came out of a previous law in this area probably 12 or 14 years ago. And the House committee did some good work there and just said, you know, since there's no consequences of this, we can just broaden this a little bit and say commercial activity means performing services or providing goods within a state or local government entity or to other state or local government entities or the general public, which normally can be obtained from private enterprise, period. And I really think that was probably an improvement in the bill. I genuinely think this is a non-controversial. Remember, there are no real consequences of this bill, Mr. President, in terms of it's just a reporting and a tabulation. Nobody goes to jail. There's no law. There's no appeals. So I think this is a good bill and a good improvement. Ask for your support.
The move. Senator Nicholas.
Question with respect to what does it mean by access summary data? You know, I think on most of these websites you get to documents to where you have PDF forms, things like that, but you don't actually get to a database where you can access data from that would be entered in a method that people could actually get into the database.
Senator Case.
Mr. President. That's a very good point. That's not what it's meant. You're not going to actually get to the data. That would imply that maybe you could manipulate the data. But you can access the summary of the data, I guess would be a better way to say it. It's meant to be that after the data is tabulated, that we have 47 complaints in the area of, roast beef sandwiches, you know, then that would be the part that the public would be allowed to get into, permitted to get the information. So it's kind of the first step in the reporting process that the governor's office already has to undertake under this bill. It's not to get to the actual data itself.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 27, and you have asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns. Case,
aye.
Coe,
aye.
Cooper,
aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Elliott,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Honeycutt,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
no.
Martin.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Meyer-Ess.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Co, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 25 ayes, 5 noes.
By your vote, you had concurred on Senate file number 27. Senator Nicholas, are you ready on message 241?
I am.
Chief Clerk, reading clerk will read in the message.
March 2nd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 241, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 75, School District Health Insurance 2. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 53, noes 3, excused 4.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I move message number 241, Senate file number 75, and ask you to vote no. What happened here is this, you recall, this is the bill that provides for the option of school districts to merge into their health care plans into the health care plan of the state. There was an appropriation provision at the end that one of the co-sponsors on the bill recommended, and they took out the appropriation authorizing positions. Folks have to remember that this is not a general fund appropriation. It's only appropriation that takes place in the event that the districts join the plan. And if they join the plan, then you need to have the authorization to hire additional employees to administer the health plan. So, and the employees would not be hired unless districts do join the plan. In the event the districts do join the plan, they simply need to have the staff to do it. So I've actually talked to the folks on the other end. I think they're prepared to reexamine their action, and I'd ask you to vote no so we could go to conference on the issue.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate file number 75, and you've been asked to vote no. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson.
No.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
No.
Case.
No.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
No.
Dockstader.
No.
Elliott.
No.
Esquibel.
No.
Geis.
No.
Hastert.
No.
Honeycutt.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Johnson.
No.
Landon.
No.
Larson. Martin.
No.
Massey.
No.
Meyer.
No.
Meyer-Ess.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Ross.
No.
Schiffer.
No.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
No.
Townsend.
No.
Von Flatern.
No.
President Hines.
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 1 aye, 29 noes.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 75. Message number 230. Senator Esquivel, are you ready on message 230?
I am, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President.
Reading clerk will read in the message.
March 2nd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 230, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 34, continuation of insurance coverage. Senate file listed above, passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 56, excused 4.
Senator Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move message number 230. To Senate File number 34, continuation of insurance coverage, and I would ask the body to vote aye on the concurrence requested. Members of the body, this bill, as you might recall, is to close those gaps, or to close the gap that occurs on an infrequent basis when a provider is insurance provider is changed from one to another. In this case, it was an employer that changed coverage from one provider to provider number two, and there was an insured individual that had a procedure. There was a procedure undertaken under provider number one. When the employer changed coverage, complications set in on the insured, and provider number two refused to cover the complications. This bill would allow for those kind of situations to be covered by one of the providers. When this bill left the Senate, Mr. President, it was the prior provider that would continue the coverage for 90 days when an employer would change coverage, and it would provide the coverage for any complications for those 90 days. This is the way it came back from the House, is, as I recall, the way this bill went out of the Senate last year and didn't get through the House last year. This year, the bill that left the Senate, had the prior provider doing the coverage. The House basically went back to the way we had it last year, which is that the succeeding provider will provide the coverage for 90 days. So they basically did what we had last year. So I would ask you to vote aye. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay, the motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 34, and you've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings? Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Meyer-S,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 34. Conference Committee on Senate File 18, Message 239, will be Case, Chairman, Scott, and Hastert. The Conference Committee on Message 241, Senate File 75, will be Nicholas, Chairman, Martin, and Townsend. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, on third reading and final passage, do we have a consent list?
We do, Mr. President. Third reading consent list for today is as follows. House Bill 18, Aquatic Invasive Species 2. House Bill 19, Mandatory Savings Accounts for Inmates. House Bill 20, Criminal Street Gangs. House Bill 34, Referendum on Adopted Ordinance Petitions. House Bill 59, Workforce Services Amendments. House Bill 64, Mandatory Minimum Sentence for Sexual Abuse of a Minor. House Bill 75, Loss of Parental Rights, Homicide of Spouse. House Bill 77, Youth Archery Licenses. House Bill 79, Eminent Domain Wind Power Collection Lines. House Bill 80, Peace Officers, Detention Officers, and Dispatchers. House Bill 83, Crimes and Offenses Restrictions for Adult Sex Offenders. House Bill 94, Real Property Easements. House Bill 95, Wyoming Firearms Freedom Act 2. House Bill 97, Nuclear Energy Production Study. House Bill 111, Electric Transmission Consideration of Regional Issues. House Bill 122, Disposal of Livestock. House Bill 132, Homicide During Pregnancy 2. And finally, Mr. President, House Joint Resolution 9, Resolution to Amend United States Constitution.
Would anyone like any of the bills removed from the consent list? Senator Landon.
Is it House Bill 18, please?
House Bill 18. Senator Schiffer.
House Bill 19, Mandatory Savings Accounts for Inmates.
House Bill 19 is being removed. Are there any other bills that the senator wished to be removed from the consent list? If not, the consent list will be House Bill 20, House Bill 34, House Bill 59, House Bill 64, House Bill 75, House Bill 77, House Bill 79, House Bill 80, House Bill 83, House Bill 94, House Bill 95, House Bill 97, House Bill 111, House Bill 122, House Bill 132, and House Joint Resolution Number 9. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 20, House Bill 34, House Bill 59, House Bill 60, House Bill 75, House Bill 77, House Bill 79, House Bill 80, House Bill 83, House Bill 94, House Bill 95, House Bill 97, House Bill 111, House Bill 122, House Bill 132, and House Joint Resolution Number 9. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Elliott.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Honeycutt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Meyer-S.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson. Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Bonflatern,
aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. House Bill 20, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Honeycutt, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 20, 27 ayes, 3 noes. House Bill 34. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 34. 30 ayes. House Bill 59. Are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 59, 28 ayes, 2 noes. House Bill 64, are there any changes? Burns, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Schiffer, aye to no. Coe, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Ross, aye to no. Esquibel, aye to no. Townsend, aye to no.
Hines, aye to no.
President Hines, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 64. 20 ayes, 10 noes. House Bill 75. Are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 75, 29 ayes, 1 no. House Bill 77. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes. House Bill 79, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes. House Bill 80, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes. House Bill 83, are there any changes? Scott, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Johnson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 83, 27 ayes, 3 noes. House Bill 94, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes. House Bill 95, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes. House Bill 97, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Larson, aye to no. Schiffer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 97, 27 ayes, 3 noes. House Bill 111, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 111. 25 ayes, 5 noes. House Bill 122, are there any changes? Larson, aye to no. Closing. Perkins, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 122, 28 ayes, 2 noes. House Bill 132, are there any changes? Ross, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Schiffer, aye to no. Townsend, aye to no. Coe, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Anderson, aye to no. Larson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 132, 21 ayes, 9 noes. House Joint Resolution 9, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Joint Resolution 9, 30 ayes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 20, House Bill 34, House Bill 59, House Bill 64, House Bill 75, House Bill 77, House Bill 79, House Bill 80, House Bill 83, House Bill 94, House Bill 95, House Bill 97, House Bill 111, House Bill 122, House Bill 132, and House Joint Resolution Number 9 have passed the Senate. House Bill 15, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 15, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, Electrical Safety and Fire Prevention Revisions, an act relating to electrical safety and fire prevention, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
House Bill 15, third reading, amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 4, line 21.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 15. Fellow senators, this is just kind of a fix-it amendment. Somehow the system got short-circuited when we were trying to... I had to put that in there. Couldn't resist, Mr. President. Sorry. Anyway, keep going here somehow. Anyway, it was supposed to have been under the low voltage section, and somehow it got put down into the limited voltage section. So it's just a matter of getting it back up in the sections where it's supposed to be, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate your willingness.
Further discussion on the amendment. The question is, should third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 15 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment has passed. House Bill 15, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case. Coe,
aye.
Cooper,
aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Elliott,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Honeycutt,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Meyer S. Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Hines,
aye.
Closing vote, closing vote closed, 30 ayes.
House Bill 15, having received the affirmative vote of the members elect, of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 15 has passed the Senate. House Bill 18, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 18, sponsored by the Travel Committee, Aquatic Invasive Species, an act relating to game and fish and the Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I don't want to take the body's too much of the body's time today on this. We had a good conversation yesterday. I think that my fellow senators know what caused a little bit of heartburn for me on this particular bill. It has nothing to do with the gravity of the situation. Jokingly, I said that I was worried about this issue yesterday, but that's really the truth. I think it's an issue that I want to commend the Travel Recreation Committee for bringing to us and doing such a good job of providing the information on this issue. My problem with this bill, and the reason that I wanted to explain to you why I will vote no, is the implementation of the enforcement and regulatory provisions of this article. I called your attention yesterday to the bottom of page 8, which indicates that fees will be established in an amount to take care of this entire article. And what we're going to do is that we're going to target our sportsmen out there. This is a tax on our sportsmen. We call it fees, but what it really is a tax on our sportsmen. And that's fine. If that's what we're going to vote on, that's what I'm going to vote no on. If it's an issue that's important enough, folks, for us to take on as a state, then the part that I'm having trouble understanding is why we're selecting one small segment of our population and we're going to more than double their permit fees. That's all. This isn't the first time that an outside force has been a threat to the state of Wyoming in terms of fish and wildlife. You know, I can take you back, and the reason I know this is that my dad worked for the Game and Fish for 40 years. He was the supervisor of the western half of the state in fisheries. So I know where the water comes from. I've stood there. And I know what's in the water, so I know the gravity here. But when we talked about whirling disease, you know, we didn't select the fishermen and double their permits that particular year. We just supported the biology department at the University of Wyoming. Chronic wasting disease, that came up from the rainbow license state from the south. We didn't double the hunting fees. So thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted you to know why I would be voting no on this.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, on and for the bill, Mr. President, if the good gentleman from, good senator from Natrona County didn't like the way that the implementation was being funded, he had many opportunities to bring amendments to change that funding and to change the source of the funding. This is, again, an experimental program to try and keep these invasive aquatic species from coming in. There is where the relationship falls down between these and, say, something like whirling disease, you cannot see whirling disease. These you can see. That's why we're implementing the inspection program on the watercraft that are coming into the state.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. The reason that we're doing the sportsmen is because they're the number one conveyance. Boats come in, they bring them in. That's the first level of defense that we have. As we work through this bill, this won't be the first time you see this. So I hope you support the bill.
Senator Larson.
President, briefly, I am going to support the bill because I think it's all we have out there now. It's a very important subject. You can see what happens out on the desk, but as you move forward with this program, I continue to believe that the water accounts are going to have to help support it. It will affect them as much or more than sportsmen and all the projects that they have out there. So this is maybe okay for now, but we better start looking at some help from the water accounts. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? House Bill 18, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin? Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Meyer-S,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 26 ayes, 4 noes.
House Bill 18, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 18 has passed the Senate. House Bill 19, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 19, sponsored by Representative Bagby, Mandatory Saving Accounts for Inmates, and Act Relating to the Department of Correction Inmates. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, this bill, House Bill 19, it's an old friend and it's a very good friend. But I wanted the Senate to be sure that you understood exactly what it's doing. If this bill goes through, the way a prisoner's income is divided up is specified in statute. And the statute says the first division goes to personal necessities and assessment of fees for programs. That's the way it's always been. The second split is support of dependent relations, and that's a worthwhile cause. The third is for court-ordered restitution, fines, sanctions, and reimbursement for the public defender, and goes to the victims of the crime. That's number three, and the fourth and final split goes to the prisoner themselves. What this bill does is changes that order and says the prisoner gets the first whack. It goes to their savings account. It depends which prison you're in on how much you get paid. I think at Rawlins, I believe it's still $20. The Honor Farm, I think, is around $60, if I recall. But what this does, it turns it topsy-turvy. The person that's guilty of the crime is getting paid before taking care of their dependents, before taking care of their restitution, and before taking care of the victims of their crime. We send people to prison to punish them. That's what prisons are for. Yes, we try and rehabilitate them, but there's a punishment element there also. The second thing is we send them to prison so they understand there's a consequence for crime. And part of that is making the world right again. And that is payments to victims. That's taking care of your kids. It's taking care of those responsibilities. We don't send them to prison so they can build up a savings account. And I know it's tough when they get sent out of prison, they get a bus ticket. Hopefully, they've taken advantage of all the learning programs, the skill programs that we offer in our prisons, and hopefully they can get a job. But I don't believe that they ought to have their personal savings account come ahead of the restitution and making the world right for their crimes. I just want the Senate to consider that when we talk about this bill.
Senators. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, speaking on and for the bill, everything my colleague said is accurate, but I think there's a couple of other things we need to consider. First, if you look in the bill on page 2, line 8, we're talking about 10% of the prisoner's earnings. There's going to be money for the other priorities that are mentioned. Second, it has always been the policy of Wyoming that our penal code ought to be founded on humane principles of reformation and prevention. And I say always because that's been in our Constitution, it's Article 1, Section 15, since 1890. And what this is talking about is reformation. The really expensive thing for this state is when you get recidivism. And this bill is a small step toward trying to prevent recidivism. We're trying to send the prisoners back out of prison, and they will come out of prison. They'll do their time, and they'll come out with enough money so that they can live for a short period while they're looking for and finding a job. And you need just a little money to get by until that first paycheck. And that's what we're talking about. With 10%, they may not accumulate enough, but they'll accumulate something, and they won't be forced right back into a life of crime. And that's why I believe the Corrections Department was the source of this bill. And I think that department is making a real effort to reduce the recidivism rate, to make sure that our inmates, as they come out of prison, have a situation where if they want to go straight, they can. And I think this is an important bill. I think because it's limited to 10%, it won't hurt the other priorities that were cited. I urge the Senate to adopt the bill.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, thank you very much. Well, I've often got up and talked about taxes in this body, and this is just an illustration of tax policy, Mr. President. If you tax too much, people decide not to work. If you tax their laborers too much, they won't work. We had a situation in Fremont County where there was a business that was established based on the principle of using inmate labor. It was a mushroom farm up near my good colleague's family's town of Shoshone. And it sort of started gangbusters, but it soon petered off because the inmates would not work as hard as other people. There was no incentive in them for it, incentive in the work for them, because all the money basically got taken away. And so people really do respond to incentives. Inmates respond to incentives. And if you don't get to see any of the money at all, you'll never work. And if you don't work, you get used to not working. And you don't have any money when you get out. And we just perpetuate the inmates in their situation, Mr. President. It's better to take a small amount, 10%, at least let them feel like they're putting something away for them and restoring the work incentive for 10%. Maybe they'll work a little bit. Maybe they'll get to like work. Maybe it'll lead to a career on the outside. Our prison industry program has been a shambles, as near as I can tell. We've never been able to get it off the ground. There's no incentive. The tax is too high.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm against the bill. When these guys are in jail and they're working and they're making money, who says they can't save money? Who says that they can't take some of their earnings and put it in a savings account? What we really should be talking about is counseling. Have the prison department go and say, guys, when you get out, we're going to give you a bus ticket and we're going to send you out here to Timbuktu, and you're on your own. Save a little money. Don't buy as much shaving cream. Grow a beard, whatever. But we're telling them they have to do it, but they have the money. They can do it. Wouldn't it be better to prepare them for the outside by training them to open the savings account, counsel them in throwing a couple bucks in it until they get the magic $1,000, and then when they're on their own, they're on their own. We didn't make them do it.
Senator Von Flavin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Not to belabor the point, but really this is kind of an anti-recidivist bill. This is, we're going to kick this guy out. You're not talking about a very, apparently he's in jail. There wasn't a lot of logic or thinking that probably got him there in that position. Prior, suddenly you're going to say, well, why don't you on your own set this aside? Well, we'll give you a bus ticket, and I think we give him a meal ticket too when we let you out. This $1,000 is set aside. It's only 10% of their income. It's not reaching way into all the money they owe the rest of the court, restitution, the family dependent money. It is just 10%, and at least these people, if you're making 20 bucks a day, a whole $100 a year you're putting away, but if you're there 10 years, you got your $1,000. Congratulations. I guess it's a milestone. But this bill is a good bill in the fact that they have some money. They can get started. We can counsel and train them on everything else in the world. But if he's broke when the day he gets out, what's his first inclination? And for most of them, isn't it good?
Senator Elliott.
I've listened very carefully to the comments from my colleagues, and I'll try and take them a little bit in reverse order. As I said during our extended debate on the bill, the last go-round, the Department of Corrections is implementing a training program, such as the shorter senator from Casper suggested. And I pointed out that they're going into a 12-week program for those scheduled to be released that covers transitional issues, life skills, employability, job search skills, financial management, community resources, and health issues. And what the Department of Corrections wanted to do with this inmate savings account is to avoid what's actively happening now and what has happened in the past. The senator from KC is correct. They get $20 a month for those that do some of the menial jobs around the penitentiary that are absolutely required. They have the right to spend that money under our current statute for personal necessities. And that includes going down to the canteen, getting food, snacks, additional drinks, that sort of thing. And very few of the inmates are saving any of the money that they are receiving through that work program. This is an attempt, as was pointed out earlier by the much taller senator from Casper, to get the 10% amount. And let me do the math. If it's $20 a month, we're talking about $2 a month being put away while this inmate is in prison. All the other funds are still available. The incentive is still there. We're not taking it all away, as the senator from Lander suggested. And so as a consequence, you keep the incentive that was there originally. And by the way, if one of the inmates chooses not to work, they get $10 a month. So $10 a month as the incentive to work has caused a number of them to go in and do that work. We only do it to the extent of 10% because of the very issues that the senator from KC mentioned in his statement. We do not want to take away the incentive, as the senator from Lander indicated, but we also want some sort of mandatory savings to be placed on the inmates so that they don't put this money in the canteen on personal necessities. That's the intent of the bill. I agree with the comments of my colleagues that it is an attempt to avoid the recidivism of inmates, to give them some money in their pocket. They do get a bus ticket, and I think they do get meal tickets for the trip. But once they're out off that bus at their chosen destination, this is an attempt to give them at least a little nest egg that keeps them out of halfway houses or God knows what in terms of activity. I urge you to support the bill. Thank you very much.
Are you ready for the question? House Bill 19 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geist?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
No.
Meyer? Myers, Nicholas,
no.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Hines,
no.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 21 ayes, 9 noes.
House Bill 19, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 19 has passed the Senate. House Bill 36, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 36, sponsored by Representative Gingery, Notaries, an act relating to notaries, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill 36, third reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 1, line 10.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 36. Folks, what this bill does, or these changes, is take a look at this accusal law proposal and make some modifications that I think make it more compliant with what Wyoming does. When it comes to the issues of notary publics, Wyoming has always been a little bit different in that, frankly, we know each other, we're a closer group of people, and we have practices that have adapted to our sparse population. If you adopt an accusal law, for example, one of the things that takes place is that if you want to give an oath, the person providing the oath has to be right in the presence of the person who gave the oath. In Wyoming, it's very common that you bring a notary public into your office, and the witness might be in Casper. Notary public has never met the witness, but the lawyers have set it up. They know that it's Mr. Ross from Casper or Cheyenne, that you tell them it's Mr. Ross, you get on the phone, you administer the oath, and you take a deposition. And that's just a practice that's gone on for years. It might be a practice that doesn't work in Los Angeles, but it works in Wyoming. With respect to the issues of an accusal says, for example, you cannot, you have to be physically present in order to notarize a simple document like a certificate of title. There are instances where, in Wyoming, where you can take your certificate of title, have your spouse execute it, you take it into the notary public, and the notary public recognizes the signature because they've known your spouse all their life. They pick up the telephone and they call your spouse and say, did you sign this? Is this your signature? And the wife says, yes, please notarize it. What's wrong with that as long as you have those types of relationships? Now, I'd agree that maybe in Los Angeles that's not a practice that you would want to adhere to, but in Wyoming it's a practice that works. There's a provision in the NACUSL law that provides that you cannot notarize a document which is incomplete. Certificates or a certificate of title is a good example of what practice that happens often here that you could no longer do. I think a year ago, my wife and I were going to buy a new car. I knew I was going to be gone traveling for a month. Actually, I was going to be down here, and I knew I wasn't going to be there to sign the certificate of title. So I signed it. We both went in and signed it in front of a notary public. At that time, the document was incomplete because there was no buyer put in the certificate of title, nor was there an odometer reading because we simply didn't know when and if. As it turned out, we didn't sell that car for a year and a half later. And it sat with my signature, my wife's signature, and it was notarized. It's a practice that we do, and frankly, I don't see anything wrong with that practice. And the issue of lawyers often know that when you're working, developing a document called interrogatories that are signed by clients, you work up the interrogatory responses, and oftentimes the client has just about got it finished, but he's heading overseas. We have him sign the interrogatories in front of a notary and under oath, and then he's halfway across the country. He calls back and says, you know, I need to change that one because I just thought of something on the airplane. We make a change after that. Now, that's a special relationship where the lawyer has got a document, the secretary has notarized the document, and it's not quite complete, but the attorney is your agent, and he holds it until it's complete. Then you affix the documents out. That's a pretty common practice. Frankly, it's a practice that happens across the nation. But why would we want to make that practice illegal? Because, frankly, we know what's going on. We know that the witness, the notary, the secretary, talks to the client and said, are these your final copies? Yes. She knows who it is, and it seems to work. If you turn over to page 6 of the document on the refusal to notarize, again, there was a whole bunch of provisions requiring notaries to provide notarial services at any time, anywhere. We don't need that. I don't know anybody in Wyoming that has a hard time finding a notary. But in our office, for example, we have lawyers that are notaries. We have secretaries that are notary. If somebody wants to come in and have a document notarized, they simply go to ask the secretary. There's no purpose for him to insist that he come up and have a lawyer do it, and the lawyer would, under this provision, be required to stop, ask his client to leave, and go notarize a document. There's just no purpose for that.
Time.
Thank you.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. First of all, this is in this bill, and the provisions are brought to you by folks in Wyoming and who have concerns about our present law and want to enhance it and improve it. Mr. President, I wish to divide this amendment. And the division would be from lines 15 through 22. That's lines 15 through 22. The rest of the amendment would be amendment number 1. And lines 15 through 22 would be amendment number 2. And that's all on page 1.
Senator, then I see there's on line 24, I haven't got the bill out, but on line 24, page 8, line 23, is that would be separate and not with the division 2?
Oh, Mr. Chairman, you're right. Let's include that. So it would be 15 through 24. Mr. President.
Thank you. Appears to be indivisible to me. So which area did you want to speak to first?
Mr. President, to division number 1, which would be the entire amendment except for lines 15 through 24. The House sponsor of the bill, the primary sponsor of the bill, agrees with the sponsor of the amendment on those changes.
Further discussion on division 1? The motion is then third reading number 1 to House Bill 36, Division 1, which is line 1 through 14, and line 22 to the balance of the amendment would be through page 2, line 40. All in favor say aye. Oh, Senator Beebout.
President, I think you want lines through 24, do you not, instead of 22?
Did I say line 22? I crossed it out on my paper. All right, again, the division is line 1 through 14 and line 25 through line 40 on page 2. All in favor of that division signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That division has passed. We're on division 2, line 15 through line 24 on page 1. Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's somewhat of an unusual situation in that the bill sponsor agrees with the amendment sponsor on this as well. It's just that I don't. And I think that this is a policy decision we just have to make on really what a notarial act is and what we want it to say. If we take a look at what's proposing to be deleted, Mr. President, on page 8, on line, 6 through 8, what we would get rid of is a provision saying that the officer shall not affix an official signature or seal on a certificate that is incomplete. In other words, if we delete that, then the person who signs that, who puts that stamp on that document, that person can take that document, go somewhere else, and modify the document and still have that seal on it. The other part of it, Mr. President, down on lines 10 through 14, line 14 is proposed to being modified to where it says an officer shall not provide or send a signed or a sealed certificate to another person with the understanding that it would be completed or attached to another document outside of the officer's presence. And we would keep that, but we would make an exception for outside of the officer's business. So if someone hires a notarial officer, then that document can be added to, as long as it's added to inside the business somewhere else. But it would still have that seal on it. And finally, Mr. President, down on line 21, we're proposing to get rid of the fact that a notarial officer shall not notarize a signature on a blank or incomplete document. I think we want to keep that, right? I mean, if someone gives you a blank piece of paper and asks you to put your stamp on it, I mean, what's the purpose of a stamp anymore if they can just simply go and notarize that or write on it a little bit later on? And keep in mind, based upon the amendment, part of the amendment we just passed, we just increased substantially the use of these documents for presumptive evidence in court. Okay, so I think that this, to me, gets at the whole notion of having a notary. I mean, if you're going to have a stamp on something, it should be a final document. And I don't think we should have the ability for someone to go take it somewhere else, add to it, modify it, or even for it to be just a, simply a blank piece of paper. If we allow that, then you kind of wonder, what does that stamp mean?
Senator Beebout.
On and in support of this part of the amendment, and I was trying to analyze the practical aspects of it, and I think it happens in our offices, in a business office, where one of the persons that work for you may be on work for you or be on your staff, and be able to have her sign things and notarize it while you're there, and she knows that she works for you and you work for her, and to give you some flexibility. I don't see it as something that's abused, and of course they have to be bonded, and those people that are notaries that don't want to do that certainly don't have to. I think this is just something that works, makes an office work simpler. I hadn't thought about the side from the trial and being involved in courts. I think that certainly makes good sense as well. This is Wyoming. Let's let the businesses that have the situation where they need notaries be able to do what they've always done.
Senator Nicholas, for your second time.
Like from
Our colleague from Fremont County just said, suppose your notary is, you're at 4 o'clock, you're working up a document, it's not quite complete, and your notary is about ready to leave. You have your notary sign the and execute the notary, and you complete it after she's gone. Under the present practice, that's okay. Under the new proposed language that we're asking to take out, that would not be okay. Folks, you have to remember there are three different kinds of documents that we're talking about, and this really only refers to one, which is the acknowledgement. All the acknowledgement does is says that the person that signed it is the person who signed it, and it was a free and voluntary act. That's all it is. And if you sign a sheet, and that's what it says. That was when I signed it, it was my free and voluntary act. Now, with respect to an oath, that means that you've administered an oath. That's a little bit different. You have to administer the oath. So you'd have to talk to the person and complete the oath. But we can do oaths later. Now, with respect to these types of documents, they're not going to be oaths. But those are really the two principal types, an oath and an acknowledgement. So we're really talking about acknowledgements here. And there are all kinds of instances where you can imagine that you're working on documents, you need the notary to sign it, you have the notary sign it, and when the notary signed it, it was your free and voluntary act. Now, if you're talking about wills, this doesn't apply to wills and things like that, because if you look at the certificate on a will, you have extra language that says the person that was there, it was their free and voluntary act, you saw the pages, you initialed the pages, and you have all additional types of precautions. So in those instances where it becomes of needed to make sure that the document that you signed is absolutely correct and didn't get modified, we have additional legal requirements that we put into the authentication document at the end, and you further authenticate the act. In this instance, all we're saying is that when all is necessary to do is that you say, I signed this as my free and voluntary act, and the person that acknowledged it says, yeah, it was Joe Blow, and at the time he signed it, it's his free and voluntary act, it's his signature. That's the person that signed it. There's no reason why we can't make make accommodations for what actually takes place. Frankly, in my now nearly 30 years of practice, I've never seen it abused in Wyoming, and I don't think it's a problem. There's no reason to tighten up something and make it more inconvenient when there's no problem right now.
I was incorrect. That was Senator Nicholas first speaking on this division. Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Second time.
Thank you. I just go back. Why do we want to notarize a blank document?
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall third reading amendment number one to House Bill 36, Division 2, which is line 15 through line 24, pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The division had failed. Division being called for, all in favor of Division 2, please stand. Those opposed? That division has failed. House Bill 36, are you ready for the question? House Bill 36. Yes, sir, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I think we better stop for a moment and think about this bill. Frankly, I had it marked down in my sheet to vote no on this bill before I saw this amendment. And after the debate we just had, my reservations have been strengthened. I really wonder if this bill has had the kind of scrutiny that it needs in going through this legislature, and I wonder what unintended consequences remain in the bill. That's, Mr. President, that's one factor. The second factor is the change in the name. We've always referred to these people as notaries and notary public. And frankly, the change to notarial, leaves me a little cold. It just smacks a little of political correctness. And let's call them what we've always called them, because people know what that means.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. We made that decision on what to call them, notarial officers, a couple of years ago. And all this bill is identifying other areas in the statute that we failed to make that change in. So that's just strictly cleanup. And that's not what this bill does, is to make that change. It just simply conforms it with decisions that were made a couple of years ago. In other parts of the bill, Mr. President, based upon the amendment that we just passed, I think we strengthen the presumption of validity of the certificate with the additional language. I think we've made it very clear what notarial officers can do and what they can't do. It conforms to a model notary act that many of the notarial officers are already using in the state of Wyoming. And this just simply gives them the direction that they need in order to continue doing those particular acts. And finally, I think even though we turned down part of the amendment that we just had in front of us, there's other parts of the amendment that was described by my colleague from Albany County that clearly recognizes the traditional practices here in this state, especially trusting individuals who may finish off a document later on, or just simply call them up on the phone and say, okay, I recognize your voice, and I'll notarize it. So I think that we have the best of both worlds here as a result of working this bill. I think it's a good bill, and it will definitely add to this practice.
Senator Nicholas.
Part of the problem that the reason why you have this now 39-page cleanup bill is that a couple of years ago, somebody went to the Nicusal Act, took out part of the act, and said, wouldn't it be good if we have this uniform state law that whether it applies to Wyoming or not? And in that law, they invalidated or rescinded some great law that we had on presumptions. And so now we're being asked to change our laws to a practice that works for California. It might work for New York, but it doesn't work in Wyoming. And that's part of the problem with just going to these uniform acts and just assuming that because it works and they've got a problem in a big state that we have a problem here. As the present bill establishes, it outlaws and creates makes illegal practices that have been happening for a long time. Frankly, there's nothing wrong with those practices. I doubt that any of you have heard of any abuses of those practices. And if you haven't, then let's say if there's a need to change this, let's take it to interim study.
Senator Massey, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. I thought that with the amendment that we had adopted that my colleague had come to terms with the sponsor of the bill, and that was certainly my understanding. Clearly, there are some concerns that remain. Again, this bill is brought by notaries and notarial officers here in Wyoming. It's not brought from New York. It's not brought from California. And if there's any evidence of that, we certainly have not seen that. This is something that applies to Wyoming. It's being brought from folks who are Wyoming residents, and it's their recommendations that we change that. And this followed the path of just any other bill that we've had here. So it's difficult to somehow explain that it's being connected to New York and California now. This is the practice right now in Wyoming, and the law will now conform to it.
Are you ready for the question? House Bill 36 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebelt?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey? Meyer?
No.
Meyer-S?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Bonflatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 14 ayes, 16 noes.
House Bill 36, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 36 have failed to pass the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. This might be the appropriate time to break into third reading. So with that, Mr. President, I would move that the Senate be at recess for lunch until 2:15. Quarter after 2, 2:15 this afternoon.
Any announcements? Senator Bebout. Oh, no. You've heard the motion that the Senate be in recess until 2:15 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The amendment has passed. The Senate is in recess.